League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
ESPN2 tomorrow night, the Houston Dash will take on the Washington Spirit. This game down at BBVA Stadium. Get down there, take this game in live if you can. But right now we've got one of the top players in the NWSL, Rachel Daly, on the line of the Houston Dash. Rachel, thank you so much, as always, for coming on the program.
No problem. My pleasure.
All right. I want to start off with the England call-up for you and what this means to you. You're called up for games against Brazil and Portugal coming up in October. What does this mean to you after being to a World Cup with England and Phil Neville?
Yeah, it's huge. I think I was saying this earlier. You know, it's obviously the biggest honour for me, playing for my country, representing my country at any level, friendlies, World Cup, anything like that. You know, it's the biggest honour for me. And every time I put on that shirt, I just beam with pride, singing the national anthem, knowing that my parents are there and so proud of me. So, yeah, huge honour. I can't wait to get back with England and obviously two huge games for us.
Rachel Daly will be here in Houston, BBVA Stadium tomorrow to take on the Washington Spirit. Players like Mallory Pugh from the World Cup, you want to get down there. There's tons of World Cup players on both teams, by the way. We'll talk about that on the show. Rachel, when you put on that jersey, like you said, it means a lot, but you have a very different upbringing in the game than a lot of the American ladies in the NWSL. Just speak to that a little bit about growing up in an English culture of football.
Yeah, it's obviously very different. You know, I think the way that the game has progressed over the last 5-10 years is phenomenal. I think the strides that it's made everywhere in the world is so big. But for me, just growing up in England, it's all I ever did. You know, I think a lot of Americans, they are like multi-sport athletes, which I envy. I think that's unbelievable. But for me, you know, growing up in England, it was only ever football. It was the only thing I ever wanted to do. You know, I had to do it with the boys. I had to do PE classes with the boys because that's, you know, that was what was offered for the boys. The girls had to do other sports like netball and rounders and things that you probably never even heard of. So, yeah, I mean, for me, football was the only thing I knew and the only thing I ever wanted to know. So to play at the highest level now has obviously been the goal my whole life.
And how much of an influence in the game over there was male-oriented?
Oh, yeah, massively. You know, I think I was telling James today, we almost had to create a team for me when I was younger, because there was about 5 or 6 girls that just wanted to play and we weren't able to play with the boys anymore. We hit a certain age and weren't allowed to play with the boys. And, you know, I used to go watch my dad play football every week, my brother play. So I was constantly surrounded by the boys and just playing with them. And I think that helped me in many aspects of my life, being around them. And just, I think it worked wonders for my confidence being around them. So, yeah, it was definitely male-oriented.
Now let's take you towards the NWSL overall, and since the World Cup, obviously attendances have rose, but what are some of the other things you see kind of here as we wind down the season?
Yeah, obviously you say attendances have rose. I think the attention that the women's game has got right now is massive. I hope that continues. Obviously we've got a big chunk of an off season now coming up, and no games for, you know, fans to follow along with, but there's obviously international games. I think a lot of girls go and play in Australia. So, yeah, but I think over in America, I think there's been a lot of attention, obviously, with the US winning the World Cup. I think that helps. But it's just progressing day in, day out. People starting to recognize you more, you know. It's grown, I think, massively over the last few months.
Is that something you would do, is play in Australia?
Yeah, I'd definitely consider it. I'd never say no. But, you know, at this point in my career, I don't think it's wise to play year-round. And obviously with national team camps I've been called into, you know, I think my body needs a bit of a rest and almost focus on sort of me and what I can bring to the next season to be the best me individually.
We're talking to Rachel Daly of the Houston Dash. They're taking on the Washington Spirit tomorrow night with Mallory Pugh, a number of internationals scattered amongst both these teams. It's a Dash and Washington Spirit. For the Spirit, still alive, trying to get into the playoffs. The Dash, on the other hand, have been eliminated. This has been a tough season, hasn't it, Rachel?
Yeah, it really has been because, you know, I think we've got a solid squad. We've got unbelievable players. I think one thing that's been a bit tough for everyone is not having a US player on our team. Certainly an allocated player anyway. Obviously, we've got people in the pool. But I think that's difficult, and I think that's sort of taken a knock on our attendance as well. You know, a lot of people want to see the US players play, and rightly so. You know, they're World Cup champions. But for us, yeah, we're very disappointed that we don't have one of those players on our team. We're also very disappointed with how the season's gone. You know, I think we hold ourselves to a very high standard, and we haven't lived up to that this season. Certain aspects of it we have as a team. Certain games we've shone and played really well in, and we showed what we're capable of doing. But, you know, the results haven't gone our way. But it's a platform, and it's a stepping stone in the right direction for next year.
I find it strange. You're 3-6-2 at home. You have a better record on the road than at home. What is it at home that makes it very difficult for you guys to get the results?
I don't know necessarily that it's been at home that's the issue. I think maybe more when our back's against the wall, we tend to perform. You know, we've had a lot of road games recently, especially, and I think we've shown that we can perform on the road. I think, you know, we've got to take that momentum into the home games as well. Like, we should be making our home our fortress, and we haven't done. So I think that's disappointing, but, you know, we're just urging for the fans to get around us next season, make it a place that is uncomfortable for other people to come and play at, like the likes of Portland. You know, I think that's the goal for me. Ultimately, I'd love to see BBVA Compass Stadium with thousands and thousands of fans, and we just thrive in that arena. So, you know, hopefully next year we'll build on this and hopefully we'll make it our fortress.
Rachel Daly joining us here. Two road games. You went to Portland, you went to North Carolina Courage, the two top teams in the league. 1-0 losses in both those games. You felt those results could have been reversed. There is a bit of a change tactically now, and that seems to be helping out, certainly from the defensive standpoint.
Yeah, I think it's more of a mindset. Yes, there's tactics changed, and, you know, we changed the way we played a little bit, but ultimately the mentality switched, and we've said we've got to find a way to win. Whether that be scrappy, whether that be pretty football, whatever it is, we've got to find a way to win. And I think, you know, we showed in the last two games that we can hang with the top two teams. And obviously beating Utah was huge for us because they're such a good team. And, you know, now we've got Washington coming up. We can't take the foot off the gas. And, yeah, it's been a bit more of a defensive effort. But, you know, if that's what it takes to sort of compete with the top teams right now, then that's what I think everyone's willing to do.
Now, I've seen you back in the penalty area defending. I've seen you doing it real deep defensively, and I know you are an attacker. That's what we see you as when you're on the Houston Dash. So with the change in mindset and tactics a little bit, your attacking game, though, has changed a little bit, correct?
Yeah, you know, I feel frustrated that I'm not in the box as much. I'm not in the areas to score goals where I want to be or where I usually am. But like I said, at the end of the day, it's a team game, and if I can help a team in a defensive effort and win the game still. You know, I think we showed that against Utah. You know, Sophia scored two great goals and I was probably in our own half when they happened. So, you know, it's not about me scoring. It's about, you know, getting the win and then hopefully my performance can help that.
Now, you had something very interesting to say to me. You said that, you know, you've struggled a little bit at times and the mindset change, we've just talked about that, but you said at times we were trying to play too pretty. Take our listeners into what that means to you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, James is from England. James lives and breathes football and watches it day in and day out, as I do myself, and I'm sure a number of the players on the team do. You know, so playing that pretty style of football is what, you know, I class it as someone like a Man City men's team, you know. Pretty football, the passing is unbelievable. You know, you keep the ball really well, you're possession-oriented team. And we tried that. And I don't think it worked as well as we thought it would or where we hoped. You know, it teams like Portland that pop the ball around really nicely and play really well, and it looks great. You know, and I think that, yeah, it is great, but it also, you know, you can counteract it and say that we're very expansive in certain areas. And the games that we've lost and the goals that we've conceded, I think, have come from the fact that we've been expansive because of good possession. So, you know, there's pros and cons of playing that way, but I think now, obviously, like I said, the mentality switch, and we've got to sort of throw our ego aside and know that it can't always be that way, and we've got to actually just defend sometimes and be nitty-gritty.
You wake up in the morning, what's the first thing you're thinking about?
Football.
That was such a loaded question. You know that. I want to take you back to something you said to me yesterday. And you and I were talking about the lack of attendance at BBVA and that you and the ladies on the team, you guys are talking about it all the time. You want it to change. You want it. You want more of that Portland and some of these other markets, what they have. Who wouldn't, right? I mean, your performers after all. But you said, quote, we don't want it to be just a little kid's party. We want real football fans. Do you think we have to change our mindset in marketing to include more hardcore fans? Because I'm telling you, I think more male fans now are getting attracted to the women's game.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's the frustrating. I'm speaking solely on part of, you know, on my own behalf here. I haven't spoken to anyone about this, but I think that, you know, a lot of the way the women's game is marketed is targeted towards children. And as much as we want kids there, of course we do. We want you know, when we see the teams come in, the kids' teams, it's fantastic. They should be a part of it. And I think that's great. But, you know, I think there's something to say about the fact that we had the most attendance when it was 713 day. Now, who doesn't want to come to a game and get cheaper beer and cheaper hot dogs and things like that? Like, those are the things that I think you have to target. And, you know, I think once the men and the true, you know, fans that watch male soccer all the time, I think once they start to see the level of play that the women's league has risen to now, I think a lot of men would be impressed. And I think that's where it's going in England. I think there's a lot of male fans now. You know, there's a lot of media around it and attention on it. And I think that once we get exposed, once the fans get exposed to that, they'll love it. But yeah, for me, I think it needs to be all ages, all genders. I don't think it has to be necessarily targeted at just kids. You know, we want people in the crowd that want to be there. We want people who live and breathe for this sport and just solely support football versus, you know, it's just a day out or, you know, that is great. Don't get me wrong. It is great. We want the kids to come. We want the women to come. We want everyone to come. But I would love to see a lot more your typical male football fans at the games.
Yep. No, I think this was really eloquently put by you. And I think why just settle for one group or two groups when you can go after three? I think there's a place for all those fan groups without a question. And I do know a lot of people that were not real big women's soccer fans. And I'm talking about male guys, friends of mine, that now all of a sudden after this World Cup are have a totally different outlook on it. So that's the good news. They're all potentials now. Washington Spirit. Tell me about the Spirit, what you think about them coming into BBVA Stadium tomorrow night.
We want to make it as hard as we possibly can for them. It's not an easy place to come. It's probably one of the hardest places to come in the league in terms of playing. But, you know, the weather, everything, I think we need to start to use that to our advantage. But the Spirit are a great team. They've had some good success this year. They've got some unbelievable players. They've obviously had the new coaching staff put in. And, you know, they're hungry. They want to make the playoffs. And, you know, we beat them on the road, and I'm sure they want to come here and do that to us, and we just have to do everything in our power to stop that and go out and take 3 points from them.
Rachel, as always, thank you very much for coming on the show. I still want to get you in studio for a round table to talk about leagues around the world and just soccer and football in general, and also the women's game, of course. Thank you so much for
coming on
tonight. We wish you the best of luck against Washington Spirit tomorrow.
No problem. Thank you very much.
All right, that's the one and only Rachel Daly. I'll tell you what a great interview she is. Candid, honest, upfront. That's good radio right there. Not because of me, because of Rachel Daly. And that's what we're always looking against LAFC.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.